Over his career in publishing, Darrell Gunter has helped bring to market digital-driven initiatives such as Factiva, ScienceDirect, Scopus, and others. The technology next in line to transform publishing, says the industry veteran, will be blockchain. Welcome to Copyright Clearance Center's podcast series. I'm Christopher Keneally for Velocity of Content. Darrell Gunter doesn't claim to be an expert on blockchain, just an enthusiast. His new book, Transforming Scholarly Publishing with Blockchain Technologies and AI, collects essays from more than a dozen contributors who share his enthusiasm for the power of technology to remake essential elements of the publishing profession, from business models to peer review. In addition to his consulting work advising startups like Underline and Repetta, Darrell Gunter writes the Innovative Saga column for Against the Grain. He is adjunct professor in the W. Paul Stillman School of Business at Seton Hall University, as well as host of Leadership with Darrell Gunter, which is available as a podcast and airs Saturdays on WSOU-FM, Seton Hall's non-commercial college radio station. Darrell Gunter, welcome to the program.
Chris, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, we're looking forward to chatting with you about your new book and helping us understand better blockchain technologies. And most listeners will at least be familiar with the idea that blockchain is the basis of cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin. But as we're about to learn, it's about so much more as well. So when did you become interested in the topic? What turned you into an enthusiast?
Well, I was at a conference. The New York Times would do conferences at their New York Times Conference Center in New York. And this was 2014, and it was on finance in Wall Street. And during the Wall Street panel, it was an interesting discussion, but then this woman raised her hand and said, "So how is blockchain being handled on Wall Street?" And the panelists did not know what she was talking about. Guess what? Neither did I, or 90% of the people in the audience. And what typically happens after a panel discussion has occurred, people will run to the stage to talk to the speakers. Well, they didn't this time. They ran to where the woman was who had asked the question. And I had a brief discussion with her. And so at the time, I was deep into semantic technology and AI. And I put it off to learn more about blockchain just because I was just trying to get my arms around artificial intelligence. And then it was June of 2018. A good friend of mine, Carlos Fernandez, called me up on a Saturday in June and says, "Darrell, I got an idea for us to work on together with blockchain." And I said, "Carlos, I have to study it. I really don't know blockchain." So the next Saturday, I engaged another friend who happens to be the name of Carlos for Carlos and I to have a conversation with him. And he was heavy into cryptocurrencies. And so over the next couple of weeks, I was just grabbing any information I could off of the web, mainly from Medium, which is a great website to grab really vetted information. And then it was the middle of July now, and my living room was covered with papers on blockchain, driving my wife crazy. And then I got a phone call from a gentleman named John Larry. He says, "Darrell, we have a conference coming up August 9th. And our speaker for blockchain has dropped out. I know you're involved in technology. Do you think this is something that you could do?" I said, "Oh, yeah, absolutely." Meanwhile, my wife looked over the counter at me like, "You don't know anything about blockchain." And so what I did over the next few weeks, I prepared for that presentation, studying more and putting together what I thought was a good framework presentation for the audience. And I explained to them that I am not an expert, but I am an enthusiast. And see, when you say enthusiast, people immediately go, "Okay, this gentleman is interested in blockchain," but not claiming to be an expert, because I wasn't, and still to this day I'm not. But that presentation was received very well. But the next month I started the MIT course on blockchain. It was a 7-week course, and it was probably one of the best experiences that I've had in my professional career, going through the MIT course and really underscoring why I think that blockchain is going to really help us into the next phase beyond the semantic web.
Well, it sounds like you really followed your intuition there, and there's a bit of fate as well that drove you to explore this topic more deeply. So here we are now, 2021, almost a decade since that first introduction you had to blockchain. What's the state of blockchain and AI in scholarly publishing today?
You know, it's early days. You know, when you think back to when the middle 90s, when the scholarly industry was moving from print to digital, that's the phase that we're in right now. And it's a very, very early adopter phase. You know, the people who are the laggards, they don't want to hear about blockchain. It's really the people who want to be on the leading edge, the cutting edge, if you like. So, like, give you an example. There was a pilot that was done between a few publishers in digital science. I believe Springer Nature was involved. Taylor Francis was involved. And that project, I think that was like 2018, 2019. It's part of my research that's in the book. And they were looking at peer review. And that project, unfortunately, has since been disbanded. But recently on Facebook, I posted the item about my book, and someone wrote back to me, yeah, we're looking at blockchain for peer review. So I think it's very, very, very early days still. So there's a lot of opportunity, but it requires a lot of good leadership as well.
Well, I think that says a lot about scholarly publishing, doesn't it, Darrell, that things take time and have to work their way through traditional practices, traditional management, and traditional perspectives. And so from your perspective so far, though, are there significant changes to scholarly publishing that are already underway as a result of the introduction of blockchain?
Not yet. Not yet. For AI, yes. AI, we're seeing a number of positive changes, constructive changes, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But for blockchain right now, no, we're not seeing it. And you might ask, well, okay, well, where could those areas be? And I would venture to say that could be achieved in peer review. It could be achieved in search and discovery, and to understand who is looking at what material, and then how do people get access to that material. Looking at it from CCC's perspective, you could look at how blockchain could enhance micropayments, where someone could actually pay for a sentence or a paragraph versus having to buy the whole article. So those are the areas that I see where blockchain can immediately, I think, can have an immediate impact once they're developed.
And your book brings together, as I mentioned in the introduction, over a dozen different contributors. One of them, Carlo Scolo Larvazzari, is an attorney representing scholarly publishers, and he has written a chapter on legislative developments related to these new technologies. He sees publishers needing to assert a curation role, and let's hear what he has to say about that.
At this juncture of open access and open science and the menacing big data tsunami, publishers need to harness their role as organizers and curators of data even more strongly. To fulfill this role, publishers have to continue using new technologies and techniques and collaborate and adapt to harness blockchain and ready themselves to stay relevant in a world of artificial intelligence. The year 2021 will see many new rules that will clarify the extent to which publishers can take part and claim a return on investment for providing and curating high-value content of assured provenance and of content that is trustworthy and guards against manipulation and bias.
So, Darrell, do you think that the courts and legislatures have a role to play in developing and pushing forward, advancing blockchain and even AI when it comes to publishing and other industries?
Yes, I do. I think that, as always, your legislators, you know, in laws, they have to catch up to the technology because, you know, they need to make sure that, A, that the technology is something that is going to be in the main domain and that they need to address it. Because as you know, scientists and researchers are always working on some new and exciting stuff. And our legislators' time is so precious. So they want to make sure that whatever the technology is going to be that it's legitimate and that they would need to regulate it in a way to make it most productive for humanity to use. So I there's always a catch-up period there, but I think that the publishers, I think it's going to require them to move forward to make the case as to why this technology, blockchain, will be very beneficial to the community. They will do the use cases, and they will make their ROI argument, and then the legislators will catch up to it. But the legislators will be involved, because keep in mind that we want this technology to be used in the most positive way. We don't want it to be used in a negative way where it's going to hurt society.
Right. And when we're talking about change, Darrell Gunter, there's a change management process that goes with this. And what advice do you offer in the book for successfully navigating that change management? So tell us about some best practices for incorporating change, the kind of change that blockchain and AI are going to drive in publishing.
We actually had a whole chapter on it that was by Chapter 7 by Pete Stockman. He wrote about best practices for incorporating change. And this is where, you know, the change needs to be led by the CEO, adopted and approved by the board to make sure that they're providing the CEO and his team with the proper financial support, but also moral support as well. And then from there, the CEO's role is to have their lieutenants to educate the team members, if you will, as to why this new technology is going to help to transform the organization to be a better publisher, versus people thinking, oh, this new technology is going to replace me. No, it's about how do you leverage your current assets. So it's all about the CEO setting the strategy, having that strategy to be approved by their board, and then to present the strategy an overarching goal to the team members and make sure everybody understands why it's important to them, why it's going to benefit everyone, and have a plan of action with performance metrics that's going to track the implementation of the technology, but also to have performance measurements to measure the items in the business model that said, oh, we're going to have an ROI of X, to make sure that those are being measured and monitored and communicated and celebrated. And then, of course, if there are some missteps along the way, which will happen because we're all human, is to understand those missteps, but to readjust, realign, and reinject into the process.
And blockchain and AI technologies are expected to find a place not only in scholarly publishing, but in the complementary area of research libraries. And contributor Anthony Paganelli of Western Kentucky University shared these thoughts.
In research libraries, a centralized system is typically the interlibrary loan system. Whereas a student or patron needs to access a book or article outside of their university, they must go to the interlibrary loan department to get their book or article. So utilizing blockchain technology, a student or patron could go directly to the lending library and gain access directly, because the information on the blockchain would verify that the student or patron affiliated with the library requesting the book or article. In addition, any fees or copyright issues could be resolved through the information that was included on the blockchain. This concept would, in theory, decentralize the interlibrary loan system. However, to implement the technology, it would require collaborations with other library systems and the actual technology. Of course, this is just one of many ways that blockchain technologies will impact not only higher education, but business in the future.
So, Darrell, what are your own thoughts and considerations about the place of these technologies in research libraries?
Oh, you know, Anthony and I have been working together now 3 years, and we collaborated on a presentation at the Charleston Conference 2 years ago on where we see the benefits of blockchain to the in the research area. Imagine, if you will, that a researcher is trying to log into, to tap into resources that are right there on the campus. Right now, you know, they got to go through the directory and find somebody and then say, okay, well, now let me check the papers that they've written. But with blockchain, with the information that's in the hashtags, you'll be able to do a semantic search within those hashtags. So you can find the most important concept that you're searching for in a matter of seconds. And that is huge, because, you know, you have all of this content that's in the research library, but it's like a sea of content to wade through. But with blockchain technology coupled with semantic search, you'll be able to find what you need in the most efficient and effective and complete manner.
And Darrell Gunter, you conclude your preface to the new book with Hazard Yet Forward, the school model for Seton Hall University, where you graduated from the Stillman School of Business. And what do those words mean in this context? Hazard yet forward. Whatever the peril, ever forward. I guess what you're doing is challenging the industry to take up these new technologies.
Absolutely. You know, being a graduate of Seton Hall, and you know, it took me a lifetime to understand what hazard yet forward really means. And it's moving forward with the faith and belief that what you're doing is the right thing. And even though you may stumble, continue to move forward. And same thing applies to blockchain and AI or any new technology, is that, you know, you have to believe in your hypothesis and make adjustments when necessary. But you want to make sure that you're always focused on that overarching goal of trying to improve scholarly research for the betterment of mankind.
Darrell Gunter, thanks for speaking with us today about your new book, Transforming Scholarly Publishing with Blockchain Technologies and AI.
Chris, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be able to share this on your great podcast.
Our co-producer and recording engineer is Jeremy Brisky of Burst Marketing. You can subscribe to the program wherever you go for podcasts and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. I'm Christopher Keneally. Thanks for listening. Join us again soon for another Velocity of Content podcast from CCC.